5:32. This song will go along with the message here tonight, because we're going to be dealing with Noah in the book of Hebrews. And the times like they were back in Noah's day, very similar to the times we live in today, right before the second coming of the Lord. So in times like these, you need a Savior, you need a Bible. And then the last verse is, I have a Savior, I have an anchor, and I am very sure. It kind of changes a little bit on the last verse. Okay, 5:32.
Thank you. stone. It comes from God's throne above, and like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy.
Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 1 and one verse, number 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. We're looking at examples of faith in the Old Testament. Verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report," I believe referring to the Old Testament saints. And what did they do? They had faith in something that they couldn't see. And they hoped for a lot of things that they couldn't see right away. And back in chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith." And so chapter 11, we get all these examples of Old Testament saints exercising faith in something that they can't see. And it's for you and me as well, because we exercise faith in something we can't see. We can't see the Lord, yet we believe in Him. We can't see heaven, but we're going there. We can't see what the future holds, but our Bible tells us what the times are going to be like. And so we have faith as well, and we're being encouraged here by one example after another. We've had Abel, we've had Enoch, now we have Noah in verse 7. Verse 7 says this, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Noah was a man of faith. Let's go back into the Old Testament scriptures and let's take a look at Noah here tonight. Genesis chapter 6, if you would. Genesis chapter 6. I want to read verses 1 right on down through verse 12 here. "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. So God right there gives the earth 120 years before he's going to judge it. In verse 4, "There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." So they lived long time. They were also mighty men. I would, from what you can see about Noah and the time there, I believe that the generation of that day was highly advanced. And of course, we even see some records in archaeology and the fossil records that would indicate that they were not just like cavemen grunting and running around before the flood, but rather highly advanced civilization, which God totally destroyed because of their wickedness and the violence that was in the earth. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. As I read this, I believe this is what's going on today. And in Matthew, we'll read a verse later on saying that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so if I'm reading some things here that take place in Noah's day before the flood, I should expect to be seeing that same thing happening today. And I do. The thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. It seems every day their hearts are just given over to doing evil and rebellion against God and anything that's right. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's why back in Hebrews, this man Noah is brought up as a witness of faith in something that he couldn't even see. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Then we see Enoch last week, or the last time I preached, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him and translated him right from earth right up to heaven. Noah was a similar kind of a man and walked with God. Verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So I should be expect to see that happening today. The earth is filled with violence today. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. When I told you the other day how that the whole Hollywood congregation of people at that great event stood up and clapped for a transgender person, that tells you how corrupt this world is. And verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So Noah was a man of faith, and he was a man of faith during a time of religious apostasy. The people of this day had no time for God. And God said the imagination of their heart is only evil continually, so there's no time for God, and that's apparent here today as well. He also was a man of faith during the time in which the whole world was corrupt. And things were really bad then. And before the second coming, the same conditions will prevail. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 24, if you would. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39. It says this. If you can hurry along and get there, Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, in other words, the people of that day knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, when you talk to people about the coming judgment upon this earth, they totally ignore you. You're crazy. They don't want to know about it. They don't want to even think about it. And they're heading for a day of judgment. And it's like the days of Noah. They know not until the judgment is going to come upon them, as the Bible tells us. Now, Noah found grace. That's what it tells us. Of all the people in the world, only one man found grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man, that's why. A just man. Like Abel. Abel was just. Cain was not. He was a perfect man in all of his ways, in his generations. And he walked with God like Enoch did. Noah typifies the victorious Christian life that you and I should be experiencing. And I'm going to go to chapter 6, verse 22 says this of Noah. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He just followed the Lord's instructions, and that's what we should do as well as believers. Follow the Lord. Follow the Word of God. And so Noah typifies for us the victorious Christian life. And he brought his sons up to fear God as well. And they all got together and they did the work that God told them to do. Noah was warned of God to do certain things. Let's continue now in Genesis 6, verse 13. He tells Noah that the end of all flesh has come. Verse 14, he tells him what to do. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. Of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. By the way, a cubit is the length from your elbow to the tip of your finger. And so you can figure out what the dimensions of the ark would be based upon that. Verse 16, a window shalt thou make in the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories. So there's three stories in this ark. Shalt thou make it. Verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Go over to chapter 7. We're looking at how Noah was warned of God in chapter 7 in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And thus the number 40 represents judgment throughout the rest of the Bible. As you read things and the word and the number 40 comes up, kind of look at it and see if you don't see judgment associated with that number. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. By the way, wasn't Jesus 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, right? So there's always something to go along with that number 40. No, and verse 7 or verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. You know, God always gives warnings before he judges. And he warned Noah. And Noah preached to the people about the coming judgment. He did warn them. God always warns before he judges. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. First Peter 3 verse 20 tells us this, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. The long suffering of God. God didn't just do this on a whim on a certain day and just destroy everybody. It was 120 years worth of warning and Noah preparing the ark for safety through the coming judgment. And people did not listen. But God always gives warnings before he judges. While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Wow. 8 souls only were saved. Isn't it something that in the end times we're seeing fewer and fewer people trusting the Lord as their personal Savior? I don't know about you, but I see that happening. I see a disinterest in calls for people to come to Christ and be saved, repent of sin. Just no interest in it. Look at our congregation. How many young people are here? You know what? We've lost this young generation. It's lost. They have no interest in the things of the Lord. By the very fact, you can't find them here. They're not attending church. They have no time for it. We're glad when families come in and bring their children in. But do you see this generation walking around? You know, everybody's got their cell phone. walking around. They're jaywalking, okay? They're not even paying attention where they're going. I see this all the time. They come into a store and they come in the door and they're just going like this. They pull stuff off the shelf, put it in the shopping cart, and they're texting all the way through the store the whole time they're there. I'm not exaggerating. I see this, and you do too. There's no interest in the things of God. They're totally wrapped up in self, humanism. It's just totally invaded our society. And it's going into the rest of the world as well. I was over in Hong Kong, and you see the same thing there when I was over there. They're giving into this technology, high technology, big time. And Japan's like that too. And India's like that. Everybody's got their cell phone and they're just talking to each other and rapping and Facebooking and textbooking each other. And what are you doing? Well, I'm going in to brush my teeth now. I could care less about the brushing teeth. And that's what they're talking about. And then, of course, they take pictures of themselves and send it to each other. A lot of bad things are being done. A lot of evil and wickedness is going on in our world. And the earth is filled with corruption and violence. It's covering the earth, much like Noah's day. Wow. So God always warns. Sodom and Gomorrah was warned. They were warned. God gave warning. And Jonah, the city of Nineveh, God gave warning there. And there, the city repented. Amen. They repented. But the book of Nahum tells us 100 years later, they were back to their wickedness again, and God destroyed the city of Nineveh, according to the book of Nahum. Jonah preached and they repented. Nahum tells us that God was going to deal in judgment on the same city 100 years later. And the tribulation that's coming upon this earth, do we not have warning in the Word of God about the 7 years of tribulation that are to come upon this earth? But are they interested in seeing it? Does it bother them at all? Does it cause them to turn to the cross of Calvary and to the Christ of the cross and trust Him as their Savior and repent for judgment is coming? No. No. In fact, people who do preach like that, they think they're kind of crazy. Well, we need to keep preaching. You say, why? Because Noah did. So should we. Noah did. And he didn't have many results. You know, I don't know. Noah wouldn't be well received by many of the big super churches of today. Because he was not, as they would think, successful. But I think God tells us different. That he was a man of faith. And Noah, by faith, prepared for something he could not see. It would indicate in the scriptures that up to this time, rain was not something that was talked about in the Bible, but rather that a mist came up from the earth and watered the earth during this time. And rain may not have been something, and I'm not sure on this, okay? So this is Gary Freeman talking, my opinion. I do think I have a little bit of scripture to back it up there, but I'll not be dogmatic about it. If someone wants to argue, well, I think there was rain before. Okay, fine. But the big possibility is that they never saw rain before, like they saw when the rain came down. And yet Noah prepared for it. He prepared for a worldwide flood. Imagine telling everybody that the whole world's going to be covered with water. Well, don't we say the whole world is going to be burned up by fire someday? And we believe that and teach that because the Bible says it's going to happen. The elements will melt with great heat. And the fire is going to burn this whole place up one of these days. Oh, it's not going to happen. We're going to go on for millions of years like we always have. Oh, no. It's going to be burned up. You talk about global warming. That'll be the main attraction then. And then he was told to build an ark. A big, huge boat to float on water that wasn't even there yet. And he had to, by faith, do this. And for 120 years, he prepared this ark for the coming things that the Lord told him were going to take place. And he did all this by faith. And our scriptures tell us in Hebrews 11, he was moved with fear. Now, I don't believe that's a cowering in the corner type of a fear, but an awesome respect for God's word. Oh, Lord, you said that. Okay, then I better get ready. Amen. For faith like that. And you know what? We need, and we're expected to have that same kind of faith. I mean, we all believe here in Race Street Baptist Church, and if you don't, you oughta. We believe in what is called the rapture of the church. Folks, that's a never ever happened before type of an event. We're talking about leaving here in a split second at any moment. That the Lord's going to come and the trump's going to sound and dead in Christ is going to be raised up first. Then we which are alive are going to be caught up together in the clouds. And the world thinks we're crazy. The world thought Noah was crazy. What are you doing building an ark out here? What's this about rain? What is rain? What? The whole world's going to be flooded with water. You've got to be crazy, Noah. And he kept on going. You got to be crazy to believe in a rapture. That's never going to happen. Never anything like that happened before. Of course, they want to talk about UFOs and aliens coming and taking people and checking them out and sending them back, things like that. Isn't that something how the devil would bring something like that on to deceive people and to make it look ridiculous? That devil's got his day coming. His day's coming. And we're all going to sing hallelujah when his day comes. We're going to agree with what the Lord does to the devil. He's deceiving people. But Noah, moved with fear, awesome respect for God's word, just like Enoch believed God and walked with God and he was not. God's word, even to Methuselah in his name, when he dies, the end will come. I believe that right up to the day that Noah and his family went into that ark, Noah died, or Methuselah died. The oldest man that ever lived, as far as we could see in the Bible. I believe that speaks of God's long-suffering. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'll let Methuselah live 969 years. That's how many years he lived. And I believe those to be calendar years. 969 years. You imagine the arthritis that must have been in that guy's body by 969 years. But maybe he didn't have any at all. Everything was different, obviously, for men to be able to live that long. But boy, after the flood, the time frame for man's living on this earth just went straight down. If you had a chart, the line just goes straight down. Some lived a few hundred years after, then 100, then down to 70 and 80, and that's about all that you get these days. And Noah moved with fear, had an awesome respect for God's word, just like Enoch, just like Methuselah, just like others in the Old Testament. And he believed God. He prepared an ark which saved him. Condemned the world, but it saved him. Isn't that something? That as he made that ark, look back there, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It says, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. I tell you what, our gospel message needs to contain both of those things. Preparing an ark, and the ark is Jesus, folks. The ark is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know, as we preach, we need to tell the world, you're lost. And the wrath of God abideth on you. And you need to be saved. God's way of salvation. And present the cross and the blood. And the salvation and the redemption that's available to man. He prepared an ark which saved him. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. And Noah went in. This is the ark now. And his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, the fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, and the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Verse 15 of chapter 8. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. You know, I can hear the world laughing and scoffing at this portion of the Word of God. You mean you believe that? That God put all those animals in that ark? I think it's a terrible thing when we see pictures of an ark with the giraffe sticking his head out of the top, and there hardly seems to be any room in there. That makes fun. That's making fun of something that should be really precious to us. You know, all the animals hanging out of the window and things like that. That's wrong. That ark was big enough to accommodate every one of those animals and more if necessary. And to accommodate the eight that lived in there, along with anyone else whom Noah was telling, come on, you need to come in. Just like our message, there's room at the cross for you, right? There's room at the cross for you. How many have gotten saved already? And isn't it wonderful to know that God included you too? I like that song. He included me. He included me. There's room. That's a wrong depiction of the ark. And if you're buying books and pictures and coloring books for your children of the ark, try to find a source that will give you an ark big enough and not having a giraffe's neck sticking out the chimney and, you know, other animals hardly fitting in and things like that. That thing was big enough to take care of them all. There were dinosaurs on that boat, on that ark. They didn't have to be the biggest ones. They could have taken, God could have instructed smaller ones to go on. Well, how would they fit? Well, God brought smaller ones in. The world mocks these kind of things here. They make fun of this. The world mocks our belief in a rapture. And a belief that we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. They mock that. Think it's funny. You believe that. Yeah, we believe that. Just like Noah believed and built an ark to the saving of his house. That's what he did. The ark of safety today is Jesus. You know, there are three arks in the Bible. Noah's ark. And the little ark that provided safety for Moses, baby Moses, built that ark. And then the Ark of Covenant in the tabernacle, which was a place where God would meet man right there on that mercy seat there. And folks, I'm going to tell you, the ark of safety today is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about us being in him. Just like Noah was in the ark, like Moses was in the ark. We are in Christ, that ark of safety. The building of his ark and the preaching of righteousness and judgment condemned the world. 2 Peter 2:5 tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. Who? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I'm sure that Noah and his sons took a lot of abuse as they built that ark. Oh, can you just imagine the response? I mean, the world was wicked, corruption, violence. God was angry and going to destroy them all. Imagine this group of people watching Noah and his sons prepare for the judgment to come. You know, the gospel we preach is received often the same way. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. I know some of you in like these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 15 and 16. This is talking about how we're to be a witness to the world. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And as we speak in Christ, there's two responses. Some receive it as a savor of life unto life, and others receive it as a savor of death unto death. Some like it, some don't. Some receive it, some don't. But you know, the Bible tells us the world is condemned already. And Noah built that ark to the saving of his house. And by his obedience to God, Hebrews 11:5 says he became the heir of righteousness. You know, when Noah came out of the ark, he was literally the titular head of the world. I mean, he was number one. All of us would come forth from him and his sons. And by faith, which brought forth his obedience to God's word, he became heir of righteousness. That's what God says of him. The heir of righteousness. And you know what? If you remember what we spoke about this morning in Romans chapter 8, we are fulfilling the righteousness of the law by Christ who lives within us and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're called joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we are heirs of righteousness as well. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that the ultimate end is that we are going to be holy and without spot, without wrinkle. And we're going to have that glorified body that Romans 8 talks about. He that is justified, he'll also glorify them. We're going to be glorified someday in heaven. What a wonderful truth that is. And to any who believe this gospel, they will be saved just like Noah and his family were saved through the flood. You will be saved from the coming judgment to come unto everlasting life and a new life in Christ and the hope of heaven and to enjoy eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is believe. Believe what God's word says. Like Noah, believe God. By faith, believe. And you'll be saved. Have eternal life. Well, that's Noah. Next week we get into the section on Abraham. And you can see it's rather lengthy as it talks about the faith of Abraham and his wife Sarah. There are a lot of good things for us to look at when we look at Abraham the next time we get together. So I hope this has been a blessing to you and a comfort to you in times like these. Let's not be worried about what the world's response is. Let's thank God every time someone does trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It's been good to see people get saved here at Ray Street Baptist Church and be baptized and going forward. We need to pray for these people that they'll be strong in this day. It's a tough time. In times like these, you need a Bible. You need a Savior. And it's just good to see people coming along, getting saved, and wanting to go ahead and serve the Lord and be baptized. That's great to see that. We had 2 weeks there, people getting baptized, and others still need to get baptized. Good to see Nick get saved. He isn't here tonight, but boy, what a blessing. See him get saved. He wants to learn and grow. And Noah and Melanie, let's just pray for them that God would help them. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Father, help us to be like Noah. We believe in some things that the world scoffs at, mocks, makes fun of, but we believe them to be absolutely the truth. Just as other things in the Bible have come to pass, there's no reason for us to not believe that the rapture is going to take place and we're going to be caught up to be with you and we'll be changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. These things we believe, and by faith we see them, and we look forward to it. And help us to preach, just like Noah preached, preach righteousness and coming judgment, and show them the cross, the plan of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.